Let's get this straight.
7:30.
Oh yeah, we back. This time I had to put some bass line in there, huh? You know? Got some funk in there. Something that feels good. Got a shout out to my father. It's his birthday this week. Bass player. Sometimes you just gotta get some of that. You gotta get that bass line in there. Something funky. Oh, you gotta bring the chords in. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. It is the 7:30 show. What is up? It is your friend. That's right. They call me Latone Hart. Is that your real name? Yes, it is. My mother wanted a girl. She wanted to name me Latanya, but she saw all 3 inches. She said, Latone. So that is my name. Latone Hart, 7:30 show, back at it. I'm glad you joined me last time. Hey, you can find me all over the place. iPods, Podbay, Stitcher, of course, 730show.blogspot.com, and of course I'm on Spreaker. Let me shout out first of all to my boy Dave Anderson, aka Taz Daddy. He put me up on Spreaker a long time ago, and I'm finally taking advantage of it and doing the 7:30 show, and it's a good time. Hey, this week you can call or text the show at 608-620-1842. 608-620-1848. Had a real, and I do mean real interesting weekend this weekend. I actually saw RoboCop. Now, I know you're like, you really went and saw that? Yes, I did. I really went to go see RoboCop. RoboCop was a movie that I really enjoyed in the 80s. I think it came out in 1988. So I really enjoyed that movie when I was a kid. It was fun. It was satirical. It was comical. Plus, the guy kept saying, I'll buy that for a dollar. So, you know, I thought it was a great movie. In the 80s, it was a great movie. The new RoboCop, I'll give it this. The special effects are amazing, but the special effects nowadays are great anyway. Throughout the whole movie, I kept thinking, is this one of those game sequences on Xbox or PlayStation 4? You know how those game sequences are kind of like movies? The whole RoboCop new movie felt like one long game sequence on Xbox. The first RoboCop movie was really like a comedy or a satirical look at 80s culture. This RoboCop movie is like the Frankenstein story put in a RoboCop uniform. So it's a totally different movie. I mean, it's not funny at all. I didn't get a whole lot of laughs. There was a couple parts, you know, because the whole suit is black and his black partner said, well, now you're the right color. That was kind of funny. But most of the movie just kind of lacked humor. It wasn't fun. And that's a big problem with remakes. There's another remake out, Kevin Hart and Michael Ealy. That's an 80s remake. The thing about the 80s movies, the 80s, everybody was having such a good time. Everybody was having fun. You're going to remake that movie, you got to at least involve some of the fun of the 80s. Not all this serious, dark, preachy, you know, new millennium movies. So RoboCop, it's worth a decent bootleg. I would say wait for the screener or wait for the DVD rip, download it. Don't sneak into movies like I did. See, you don't have the advantage of carrying a broom and being able just to say, hey, I'm here to clean up theater 6. They won't let you in. They will let me in if I have a broom and one of them things you sweep up. So I get into the movies for free. This is the 7:30 show. Make sure you subscribe. Check it out every single week. Like I said, I just submitted it to iTunes, so we should be there soon. And of course, I'm on Spreaker, or you can just find me on Facebook or my Twitter at Latone Hart, LATONE. Let me shout out to my boy, Tim Wilson, AKA Squirrel, who's doing the What Up Though podcast show. Very good show. I wake up in the morning and listen to it. Squirrel always made me laugh. Tim is really funny. Plus, he's selling cars. So if you need a car and you're in the Houston area, check out his show, What Up Though. It's on Spreaker. You can find it. I'll put some links in the description to this show. But that's my man, 40 grand. Like, you know how you got a couple homeboys that, you know, they could call you when it's time to hide the body. Well, Tim, that's the guy. He could call me and be like, yo, man, we got to go to Meijer. I'm like, why? We got to go get some cement. Cement? We got to throw somebody in the Detroit River. I'm like, oh, word? Why we got to go to Meijer? Ain't Lowe's closer? You know, Tim could call me like that. My man KJ, you know, we'd hide the body. My man Adam, we'd hide the body. So, hey, shout out to my man Tim. Make sure you check out his show, The What Up Doe Show. What I really want to talk about this week is The Thirst. The Thirst is out there. I mean, The Thirst is real. Check this out. Woman Crush Wednesday. Now, I don't know if you're not on Twitter or you're not into all this social media world, but if you see hashtag WCW, that's not wrestling. The Four Horsemen aren't coming. The Wolfpack isn't coming. WCW is Woman Crush Wednesday. And on Twitter and social media, people are putting who their woman crush of the week is. Girls are doing it. Guys are doing it. But this guy paid for doing it. A kid in Chicago by the name of Deron Jacobs. He was killed by his girlfriend for tweeting his Woman Crush Wednesday. Now, ladies, I have no idea what you're going through. I don't know what you're going through, but even if you're great to your man, even if he hollers your name and high pitches every single night when you make love to him, he is still looking. I didn't say sampling. He is still looking at the menu. Yes, looking at the menu. His girlfriend came home on Wednesday. Her name is Rachel. Rachel Edwardson saw that he was tweeting his Woman Crush Wednesday and stabbed him in the chest. This fool still had his phone in his hand, but she killed him because he had a Woman Crush Wednesday. Now, I got to be realistic. I like some Serena Williams. I like Holly Robinson Pete. I like this new girl on Justified. What's her name? Erica Taisel. I think these women are sexy. They don't need to be my Woman Crush Wednesday. They're my Woman Crush Week. But that doesn't mean if I'm with you, I'm not with you. Just because these women are hot and I fantasize about them doesn't mean I'm not with you. Hashtag Woman Crush Wednesday is not a reason to be killed. I mean, this dude still had the phone in his hand. Ladies, you have gotten beside yourself. Let me explain something to you. I tell this to my boys all the time. And this is the gospel of Latone. That is not your meat. It is not your meat. You don't own it. You didn't buy it. You can't possess it. It is your turn to sample that meat. He is allowing you to sample that meat. Maybe for a year. Maybe 2 years. Maybe he stays, lets you sample it for 20 years. But you don't own it. It is just your turn, ladies. That is all. I am done. Woman Crush Wednesday getting people killed. I mean, really? Come on, man. You're just sitting around, you chilling like, yeah, that's a bad girl. What did you say? I'm gonna kill you.
I realize you don't have to be born in the South to be dumb. You just gotta be there long enough, you know, for it to seep up in you.
It is the 7:30 show. What's up, your man Latone Hart? I got another question. Who out there thought Little Kim at 39 years old was sexy enough to go raw? To go no hat, bareback, and Little Kim at 39 years old is pregnant. Now, everybody's like, Little Kim is pregnant? Biggie been dead. Little Kim is pregnant, and she says the daddy is Mr. Papers. Now, nobody knows who Mr. Papers is, but allegedly, now I don't know this, but allegedly, Floyd Mayweather Jr. is the father. Yeah, man, he's never lost in the ring, but if this is true, he's losing in life. Little Kim looks like Yao Ming in the face. I don't know what happened to Lil' Kim. I used to love like the 96, 97 Lil' Kim. They had the nice little body. You know, want to rumble with the beat, huh? You know, I don't know what happened to that Lil' Kim because she was sexy. But the new Lil' Kim, looks like Yao Ming, Yao Ming, Yao Ming, Yao Ming, Yao Ming. And I don't know, like, what part of you or how long you've been locked down or what drug she hit you with. Like, so you were like, man, I got to hit that. But I want to know. I want to know the truth. I deserve the truth. Who hit Little Kim? And at 39, Little Kim is only like 4 foot. With a baby in her, she's going to look like, she's going to look like a bonbon. She's just going to look like a little round ball. This is nuts. Insane. Improbable.
7:30.
Like I said, you can text or call me. 608-620-1842. It is the 7:30 show with your friend Latone Hart. I'm sitting here watching the TV the other day. You know how you're just flipping through the channels? Because I don't do cable anymore. There's no way in hell I'm paying over $100 for cable. Do you know cable used to be like $15 to $20? Now people, I got a homeboy. He said he's paying like $190 a month for cable. Man, the hell with that. I just go to a restaurant and watch whatever they got on and go home and read or watch the basic channels. I'm not paying that much for cable. But since I don't have cable, I was just watching TV, flipping the channels, about 11 o'clock at night. And all of a sudden, I realized, oh, the Winter Olympics are on.
Now, class, today we'll be talking about the whitest of sports, the Winter Olympics. White as the freshly fallen snow. Ah.
And that's really all it was. The Winter Olympics look like Florida on a good day. Like, there was nothing but snow and Bob Costas and Matt Lauer, who are as vanilla as you can imagine. And there was some, it was just bad. It was just really like, what is this? Is this a gym class for the Hitler youth? What, are there any South Americans here? Are there any Arabs or Indians here? There is no brothers there. The Winter Olympics is the purest thing you've ever seen. Plus, these are not sports. Let's just be honest. There are some sports. Sports has to have defense to me. Like, if nobody's trying to stop you from achieving your goal, are you really an athlete? Like, I think golf is cool, but it's a game. It's like, you know, you're hitting the ball into a hole. It's a game. Like tennis, at least someone's trying to stop you. That is a sport. At least soccer, someone's trying to stop you. That's a sport. War, that's an extreme sport because someone's trying to kill you. But getting a couple of you and your white homeboys from the Netherlands to slide down some ice is not a damn sport. It's not. Ice skating? Are you serious? Ice skating is a sport? Now, I'm not disrespecting the fact that ice skating is difficult. I love hockey. You know, I grew up in Wisconsin. I play a little hockey. It's not a bad game. It sucks to watch on TV. Fun as hell if you're crashing somebody, checking somebody against a board here or there. But it's a sport. But to tell me that a man in spandex on some ice skates with glitter on his face and a makeup artist on his team is a sport is a slap in the face to me. That is not a sport. That is not a sport. I don't care what you say. That is not a sport.
7:30.
You know, they used to call ice skating ice dancing. Ice dancing. Take that in. That's like calling football grass dancing. Well, look, Jadeveon Clowney is dancing on the grass as he hit Peyton Manning in his head. That was an amazing dance as he went across the middle. Ice dancing. Then there's another sport where it's white people sweeping, which is something they don't do in real life because, of course, we know they hire the help. But white people sweeping on ice is a sport called curling. I can't. I'm done with it. The Winter Olympics is some bull hockey.
You've got plenty of the guys to say those words for you.
Valentine's Day go. See, I'm excited about this week because everything's like 50 to 70% off. And like, I consider myself the side man. So I'll just be like, yeah, I know you're spending time with your real man. But hey, I got you this 50% off chocolate because I was thinking about you. I was thinking about you. So, do you want this? These flowers, they're a few days old, but they only cost me $5.99 and I really love you. I mean, really, Valentine's Day, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you made your payments, your vaginal payments, because basically that's what it is. I sat around and thought about Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day obviously was created by some bitter woman who did not get what she wanted for Christmas and said, I'll give this fool a couple months to get it right. But the pee has never been free, and it still isn't. And basically Valentine's Day is a day for your woman's ego to match up against the next woman's ego. Like, oh, my cookie is so good, he bought me 12 flowers. Well, girl, my cookie is so good, he bought me an outfit. And somebody else is like, well, my cookie is not good at all because he got me a stuffed animal from the gas station. It's the 7:30 show. It's your man Latone Hart, and you can find me
at Latone Hart on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
That's right. Find me there. Now, for those of you that know, I've been a broadcast professional. I've worked in radio, DJ clubs for a better part of the last 20 years. So I hear a lot of music, lots of music. And lately, I've been hearing, you know, Beyonce, because I like Beyonce as much as the next emasculated man who likes to shave his legs. I like Beyonce. I mean, she's kind of become a symbolic figure. She is. She's really kind of an idol for women now. She's kind of, you know, what do they call it? A messiah-like figure for women across the world. But I'm listening to her new song, Drunken Love, which is pretty raunchy when you really listen to it. But I'm sitting here thinking, like, what is this song really about? Because she says, we woke up in the kitchen thinking, how the hell did this happen? Oh, baby. That's what she says. And I'm like, damn, is this the first hit record about date rape? And she's like, we be all night. Last thing I remember is our beautiful bodies in the club. So the last thing you remember is your beautiful bodies together in the club. And next thing you're on the floor in the middle of the kitchen. Sounds like chloroform was involved. Chloroform was involved, Beyonce. You just got date raped and it's a hit record. Date rape, the hit record. Thank you, Beyonce.
Like, white women make me real nervous. White women make me nervous as hell. Not right now because there's witnesses, but I'm talking about like at night when they by themselves, you know what I mean? Walking towards me. She could be nervous too. I'm a big dude. Like, oh, Jesus, you know, big black guy is walking towards me. Hope he doesn't grab, you know, getting that fantasy going. Hope he doesn't grab me with his big black arms and throw me in a trunk. And I'm thinking the same thing, like, oh, Jesus. I hope nobody kills this white woman because I'm going to get blamed for it.
The great Patrice O'Neal, the 7:30 show. Like I said, you can call or text 608-620-1842. I got a call here. Let's check it.
Yep, this Crump Dog, first time caller, long time listener. And I just want to comment on the bullshit that the NBA is putting out there for All-Star Weekend. And just a quick comment on the docile and unmasculinity of the young black male. I'm out.
All right. The NBA All-Star Weekend, basically stripper haven. I mean, from what I understand, I'm not that far from New Orleans. From what I understand, all of New Orleans still smells like Let's Jam and cocoa butter because there was plenty of women trying to get their rent paid this week because it looked like Freaknik. Basically, NBA All-Star Weekend has become Freaknik. You know, brothers have come from all over the place to be there. So it's the new Freaknik, kind of like a prison release party if you were in New Orleans this week. But, yeah, I don't know what's going on with the NBA. The NBA, I watched some of the All-Star Weekend festivities. There are no stars. Like, LeBron is the best player. LeBron and Kevin Durant are the best players in the NBA. But none of them have any. They don't have the charisma and the courage and the daring. Like, it's not interesting. Like, I remember one year for the slam dunk competition. I think all week, I just couldn't wait. I was like, man, Vince Carter going to be in it. It's going to be serious. I'm like, woo. Paul George. Paul George sounds like he should be getting my cheeseburger somewhere. Like, hey, Paul. Hey. Oh, your name, Paul? Can I get Swiss on that instead of cheese? Paul George does not excite anybody. Like, I don't even remember. I watched the slam dunk competition this year. All I remember is Paul George, and I remember John Wall. And you know why I remember John Wall? Because John Wall did a pretty good dunk. Then he ran over to his boyfriend, Paul George, and did a very seductive, sultry, hip-swinging dance move that's called the Nene. And he did it, you know, about 2-3 feet away from Paul George. And they both kind of shimmied their hips together. And I was looking at this and I was like, it's a different world, man, I'm living in now. I mean, there are no lions left. Now, men have been being emasculated or demasculated for the last few years. And it's really hard. Like, we have a sissy culture and you got to blame that on women. Women control evolution. Kind of the same way that men change the evolution of cattle, women have changed the evolution of men. So what you're seeing on the NBA All-Star Game and what you're seeing when you hear your Drake records is you're seeing a breeding process that women prefer. If women preferred a bunch of short guys, in 20 years, there would be a bunch of short guys. Women have preferred sensitive, kind, passive, wimpy, submissive type men for the past few years. Like the cattle reference suggests, when men were domesticating cows and bulls, bulls and cows were very aggressive. They were very big. They're still very big. They were very big animals, and they did not like to be handled or rustled or moved all over the country. So you know what you do? You take the littlest bull you find. You find some of the bull babies. You take them and you get them conditioned to you. Now, you got four or five bull babies. Four of them are going to be, get away from me. You know, bulls are ornery. But one of those bulls is going to be a little more docile, a little more quiet, a little more passive. You take that passive bull, you grow him up, and you breed him. So you take his trait that is calm, that is quiet, that isn't as aggressive as his brothers, and you breed him with about 30 cows. So you pass on those passive genes. And in effect, men have made cattle. Cows barely move now. If you walk up to a cow, they'll just stand there. They breed out the warrior spirit, the aggressive, masculine, strong spirit of the cow. And now you got all the cows you want. You can eat whoppers all day because they're not going to fight. Some of the bulls still hold on to it because it's intrinsic for bulls to be. But for the most part, they can handle bulls now. If you see bulls, you can go to the rodeo and pet them. They don't go crazy. I mean, there was a time you couldn't even get close to a bull. Like, they would attack you like an alligator. It's not like that anymore. So that's what you see with all these men. They have been conditioned to be polite, to not hurt anyone's feelings, to not be risky, to not speak out on issues, to be agreeable, to be attractive, and to be all these nice things. And what happens is when we see these guys in public or on TV or in sports, we're like, huh? Like, you're doing what I would love to do. Why are you in the NFL or playing basketball and you're just acting like a choir boy? Why aren't you, you know, being a little rough, being a little dangerous, you know, being wild? You know, you can't create any excitement if you're polite. Nobody gets excited about real polite people. So that's the problem with the NBA and the masculine spirit of men. Because I won't say it's only black men. I mean, there's a lot of guys shaving their chest this morning. There's a lot of guys out there. Some guys, hey, I got a couple of hairs on my chest. I got to shave it. And that's just, I don't get it. But I would say that's what women want. Women want these men who get under the covers when they hear sounds downstairs. The ladies today, my daughters, the type of men they will have based on what I'm seeing, when someone breaks in the house, my daughter got to go downstairs. Because these men aren't, you know, you just can't. You being masculine is a process. You have to be around it, and you have to be allowed to be dangerous. You can't be dangerous if everybody tells you, oh, don't do that. Oh, you know what? Be nice. Make everybody feel comfortable. No, fuck being comfortable. Be aggressive. Be assertive. That's what it is.
You're listening to the 7:30 show. He's a little bent.
7:30 show. How are you doing? I've been getting a lot of tweets. Thank you for people that like the show. Thank you for people that say I have a nice voice. I don't think I have a nice voice. I've always thought I sounded like Kermit the Frog. But make no mistake, I will knock Miss Piggy down. Like, it's no mistake. I will burn that up. Be making bacon up in here. But thank you for all the replies on Twitter at LaToneHeart. Tweet me, I'll tweet you back. Follow me, I'll follow back.
7:30.
Well, over the weekend, the big story was not about Darren Sharper taking pussy like my daughter takes selfies. That wasn't the big story of the weekend. The big story of the weekend was the James Dunn verdict. In case you missed it, here it is.
I have the verdict form in count one. There are no markings on it, but I will provide it to the clerk for the record. And based on the jury's inability to reach a verdict as to count one, I would declare that mistried.
It was a mistrial. So the killing of Jordan Davis, the actual physical killing of Jordan Davis, was considered a mistrial. I don't know why. Maybe a juror, maybe two jurors, maybe half of them thought there wasn't enough evidence to convict the man of murder one. Part two of the verdict, though.
The state of Florida versus Michael David Dunn. Verdict is to count two. We, the jury, find the defendant guilty of attempted second-degree murder, a lesser-included offense. We find that the defendant discharged a firearm during the commission of the offense.
Well, no, really? He killed a person. Yes, he discharged a firearm. So he's not convicted of murder. It's a mistrial. But he's convicted of attempted murder. This is in Florida, of course, the famous place where George Zimmerman won his case, Stand Your Ground over Trayvon Martin. And what this is saying, and it's disturbing, because symbols rule the world. Symbols, not words, not laws, but symbols. And this symbolizes the global belief that all black men are dangerous, no matter what they're doing. I mean, this sends a very clear message that killing dangerous, scary black teenagers isn't criminal. But what is criminal is failing to kill them when you're afraid, because he was convicted for attempted murder. See, what you got to do is you got to eliminate the evidence. That's what this verdict says. Now, a lot of people are telling me, why are you upset? He's going to prison for a long time. That's fine. It's about what it symbolizes. Break it down like this. Brown bears, you know, in the forest, brown bears are endangered. You can only kill them if you feel threatened, right? So if you're in the forest, you're walking around and a brown bear runs up, you know, brown bear is probably just looking for a picnic basket. But you shoot them when the police or the warden or the games, something they do, the rangers come, they'll be like, well, why'd you kill this bear? He was attacking me. Okay, cool. The bear's dead and the bear can't testify. The bear can't testify. Even if he could talk, even if he lived, he always said, rrr. So this is essentially the same thing. You have to kill and destroy the evidence if you want to get off. In Florida, in Texas, anywhere where Stand Your Ground, this verdict says make sure there are no survivors. I mean, you got to let go all 9 shots, maybe 12. Make sure you get all of them. I mean, unload the clip. That's what this verdict says. Now, I got a question, because obviously white fear trumps black life. When aren't whites threatened by blacks? That's my question. I mean, since the sixth grade, I've been 6'2", 200 pounds or more. People have always been afraid of me. People still are. Like, I go to work, people know I'm coming to work every day, and I'll just come around the corner. Maybe I didn't announce myself at work, and I can come around the corner and they'll be, oh, whew, you shocked me. I didn't know it. I work here. What are you afraid of? They're always afraid. So under this law, based on this message, when is it not okay to kill us? Because you're always frightened. So you're always going to be able to stand your ground because you're afraid? I mean, Richard Sherman was labeled a thug for doing his job, passionately and winning. They called him a thug, which is code word we all know for Negro or nigger or criminal, whatever. Same as rapper. He was labeled a thug for doing his job, and the whole world was in an uproar and they were scared and oh my God. And Richard Sherman had to apologize for being passionate, for being demonstrative, he had to apologize. Did you know that? I mean, this is a college graduate. This is a high school valedictorian. He had to apologize, and he didn't commit a crime. You know what he had to apologize for? He had to apologize for being scary. I mean, the Zimmerman and Dunn verdicts prove that most of America feels that white fear has a privilege over black life. Same as human fear has a privilege over brown bear life. Same difference. Then this man, James Dunn, shot 9 times, drove to a hotel, probably shot a few more just because he was happy, and ordered a pizza. ordered a pizza, ate his pizza, didn't even talk about it to his wife or girlfriend. I mean, that level of apathy alone is scary. Now, this is my question. What do you tell a young black man in 2014? What do you tell him? You know, what do you tell like a 12-year-old or a 10-year-old? What do you tell him in 2014? I asked a white associate of mine, what would she tell her child if her child was black? What? I mean, really, what would you tell him? And she said, I would just tell him to be polite and be respectful and listen and obey. So I said, basically, Jim Crow. Like, basically, anytime somebody white approaches you, you said, oh, no, sir. No, no, sir. Just lay low and basically just let them show deference, show respect, be docile, lower your eyes, speak softly, do anything to help their insecurities. That's what she said. I mean, this whole stand your ground argument, it's stupid. It's a farce. It only applies to those who own all the land in the United States. We know who that is. The same people who believe they can own people. Like, really, how do you own land that was here millions of years before you? That totally escapes me. But that's the system we have. Capitalism is based on ownership, and stand your ground is based on, hey, you don't have to back up. You own this land. And you know what else? I'm appalled at the silence. The silence coming from the mothers in America. I mean, where are y'all voices? Killing kids? I mean, kids. You were a kid. I was a kid. When you're a kid, you're half retarded. You do stupid stuff when you're a kid. But where are the voices from the women? I mean, doesn't this go beyond race? Doesn't this go beyond ethnic group? Like, kids, women, you guys have kids. You're nurturing. Where is the moms standing up? Where's Mace? Where's Mothers Against Child Execution? Where are they? Maybe they're not making any noise because they don't think that black children are children. Maybe they just think black children are monsters and or brown bears and they're threatening. I mean, this Michael Dunn case, I wasn't surprised. If you go to the barbershops, you talk to anybody black, none of us were surprised. But it's a clear message that the status quo will be upheld. Now, in case you didn't know, the status quo means before the war. So that's what status quo as a definition means. It means before the war. We're going to operate the same as we did before the war. Obviously, they're talking about the Civil War. I mean, we can look at it historically. The Dred Scott versus Samford case in 1857 was presided upon by the Supreme Court. And it decided, I'm paraphrasing here, that black Americans, whether they're free or whether they are slave, have zero rights that a white American had to respect. This is still the foundation of the Stand Your Ground laws and America's racial policy. And we saw it Saturday. We'll see it next month. We saw it with Rodney King. We will continue to see it. I'm not someone who believes or subscribes to the post-racial America lie. You know, they like to present mascots of black upward mobility. You know, Oprah Winfrey, Magic Johnson, Jay-Z, Obama. They represent less than 0.1% of black America. They don't represent us at all. They don't. So when they show these mascots, hey, look at how good you have it because, hey, you got a black president. I like Obama. Obama seems like a nice guy. I like him actually the most because of his wife and because of the way he is with his kids. That's what I like about President Obama most. But let's be real. Culturally, he is not a black man. His father was African. He never knew his father. But have you seen his grandfather, his mother? He was raised by all white people. I grew up in Wisconsin. I know lots of people like that. You can be the color black, but that doesn't mean you're culturally black. Doesn't mean you identify with being African American. Doesn't mean you have any of the DNA of slavery in you. So you don't have that fire. You don't feel it. He hasn't said anything about this. Not a tweet, not a comment, nothing. I mean, I've been waiting just to hear what the president was going to say, but he knows to shut up because he said something about Trayvon Martin, and somebody told him, hey, look, you ain't black anyway, so shut the hell up.
7:30.
Now, let me be realistic. If I see a car of kids, no matter what race they are, I don't think they would obey anything I said. I mean, these are kids, whether they're listening to rap, country, or Katy Perry, I'm not their father. I'm not their uncle. I'm not anyone they know. So why would they listen to me? Really, like, what is James Dunn's issue? Does he think that people are supposed to listen to him? Because, especially kids, like, we all know kids, but what, these black kids are supposed to listen to him because what? Because why? I don't know you. Get out of my face. But maybe because they were playing rap music. Maybe that's why they should have listened to him. They should know that if you're listening to rap music and a white man approaches, you should put your head down. And, you know, basically, you know, lay low. You know what I mean? You got to lay low. Better lay low. This is basically all a symptom of white supremacy. James Dunn has it bad. Probably most of the people you know have it bad. You might even have it bad. I know some people, some black people, some brown people that subscribe to white supremacy too. It's pumped and programmed so much, it's hard to get away from. The bad thing about white supremacy is it hurts white people as much as it hurts non-white people. White supremacy does not allow the James Dunns of the world to adapt or evolve with the new multicultural world. I mean, we're really becoming a global world. Like, there's no more really like China, not all Chinese, you know, America is not all Americans. Like, we're becoming a global world, but white supremacy does not allow you to evolve. It just constantly pushes the belief that white people are superior, are number one, and everybody else in the world should conform to ease their anxieties. I mean, ease their anxieties and comfort them at all costs, or they're justified to shoot you 9 times. Wait a minute, reload? I mean, 9 times. It's crazy. I feel terrible for the family of Jordan Davis. I mean, hopefully there is justice, and when he gets into prison, somebody will take care of that. But I really feel bad for them because, you know, you don't want to lose your son. I mean, I got a son. He's kind of an idiot. I don't want to get this call because he was being his normal idiot, juvenile, adolescent self. But I feel bad for the family. I understand there's a rally in Jacksonville next month, hopefully so they can repeal Stand Your Ground, which is cool. I don't have any problem with that. But this problem is deep, deep, deeply rooted in belief. And this belief is constantly reinforced in popular music, film, and television, that black men are frightening and that you have a right to kill them. That's what this is really about. It's really about. There's a great book by Tom Burrell. It's called Brainwashed. Great book. I've read it a couple times. It breaks down how we're all programmed to believe that black people are less than human. And when you believe someone is less than human, you can treat them any type of way. You can kill them and no one feels remorse or feels sorry. Make sure you check that book out. Brainwashed by Tom Burrell. This is
7:30.
And me, I'll be glad I'm black. You know, it's pros and cons to it, though, you know? I feel like we're the coolest motherfuckers, but we still get judged and shit. If I wasn't black. If I wasn't black. Nigga, if I wasn't black. Will I be racial profiled in a group of white people singled out? Homie, if I wasn't black, would you wanna search the car? Can we search it, Mr. White? Fuck nah, homie, if I wasn't black. Y'all wouldn't even pull me over, looky-loo, staring at me on the shoulder, homie, if I wasn't black. Would I even wanna rap? Damn, you know I never thought of that. But if I wasn't black, would I wanna chain? And would I need a gun? Would I wanna bang? And should I get this range before I get this house? Guess what I did, took the nigga route. And if I wasn't black, would I invest in stock? But I'm selling crack, I never left the block. If I wasn't black, would I be in and out? A prison, my niggas dead, wanna dig them out. Are they grays? If they wasn't black, they still be living. But they black, killed by black, man, this shit is ignorant. And if I wasn't black, I'd be a politician. And if I wasn't black, you niggas probably listen. If I wasn't black, 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 black. If I wasn't black, 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 black. If I wasn't black,
if I weren't a black man, if I weren't a black man, if I weren't a black man.
If I wasn't black,
if I weren't a black man, if I weren't a black man, if I weren't a black man.
If I wasn't black, would I view Pac as a role model or just an artist? Would I care if Obama was in office? Would I love soul food if I wasn't black? Where it came from when we were slaves, they gave us all the scrap. Ham hocks, hog mugs, shitless, pig feet. That's a part of black history, you gotta dig deep. Would Malcolm X and Martin Luther King be as significant? If I wasn't black, I don't think I really give a shit. If I wasn't black, I wouldn't care who Emmett Till is. Wouldn't care about the inner city or they ghetto children. If I wasn't black, would I still react the same way that I do when seeing other blacks? And if I wasn't black, I'd be at Harvard U. It's not that I didn't want to go, it's cause it's harder to. They act as if our education ain't important. They only giving scholarships to future Michael Jordans. If I wasn't
if
black,
I wasn't black, 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 black.
If I wasn't black,
black, black, black, black, black, black.
If I wasn't black,
if I weren't a black man, if I weren't a black man, if I weren't a black man.
If I wasn't black,
if I weren't a black man, if I weren't a black man, if I weren't a black man.
If I wasn't black,
if I weren't a black man, if I weren't a black man, if I weren't a black man.
If I wasn't black,
if I weren't a black man, if I weren't a black man, if I weren't a black man.
If I wasn't black,
if I wasn't black.
I want to give major shout outs to Don Lemon, who I'm usually in disagreement with, but Don Lemon went hard this weekend on the James Dunn trial.
Is he a brother or is he a cornball brother?
I'm gonna let you back in, Don Lemon. Don Lemon gets to come back in. I'm gonna let him be your brother this week.
Is he a brother or is he a cornball brother?
So congratulations, because Don Lemon on CNN, Don Lemon on CNN went in, and I was kind of proud of him, you know. All things considered, sometimes he tap dances a little, but this weekend he was all in, and I got to give him respect for that. So props to Don Lemon. It's the 7:30 show. Check me out on Spreaker, iTunes, Stitcher. I'm trying to get on Podbay. Check us out. If you have a text or something you want to say on the show, question, hit me up, 608-620-1842. Three things I don't care about before I go. These are some things I just don't care about this week. I mean, really, I don't. What is this guy that's on every single magazine I'm looking at? Philip Seymour Hoffman. I don't care about this guy. I've seen him in some movies. Every movie he's in, except for Almost Famous, I kind of dislike him. He's kind of, blah, like... But for him to be on Rolling Stone, Time Magazine, I think he's on Mad Magazine. I saw him on Black Planet Magazine. I mean, he's on everything. I don't care about Philip Seymour Hoffman. It is sad that he passed away using his enormous wealth to help himself to heroin. It is sad that he had a love triangle going on that he's not going to be able to break her off anymore. It is sad, but when you kill yourself using drugs, because you're paid too much, I really just can't care. I've been saying this for a long time, and my father used to disagree with me. I don't care about the Beatles. I really don't. I know they made a couple good songs. Well, and I know they changed music, because I'm told. But when 50 years ago, the Beatles mattered. Like, I care about Jodeci. You know, I care. Like, I don't care about Drew Hill either. Like, Drew Hill and the Beatles are the same to me. I don't care about them. So please stop. They had like the 50th anniversary show, the Beatles, and then they had the Beatles Guitar Hero. It's like every 5 weeks there's a new Beatles something. Like, they got, I think Cornflakes is doing the Beatles edition. I'm tired of the Beatles. I don't care about the Beatles.
You make me feel like a nasty old woman.
And lastly, I do not care about Veronica Mars. I didn't care about Veronica Mars when it was on TV, but now there's a Kickstarter and they're starting a Veronica Mars movie. Kristen Bell is an okay looking girl. She looks really mean. She has really cold eyes. Okay, Kristen Bell is not a bad looking girl. Fine, but I've never understood the Veronica Mars obsession. Why they talk about it all the time. I don't want to see Veronica Mars, and I don't want to see the show, the movie, or whatever. Like, calm down with all the Veronica Mars stuff.
If you don't agree with me, then after you die, you're going straight to the pits of hell.
Latone Hart, 7:30 show. Let me roll up out of here. Shout out to everybody that's doing their thing, everybody that's at work. Be safe this week. Oh, I get to be on a panel this week. It's going to be fun. The He Said, She Said Relationship Forum. We'll definitely talk about that next time. My friend Donald Thomas Jr., he wrote the book, What the Nice Guy is Thinking, asked me to be on the panel. And I said, really? You want me to be on the panel with a bunch of people talking about relationships? So I will be talking about the emotional terrorism that women place on men. And it shall be fun. Hopefully I have some sound bites from that next week. Like I said, feel free to contact me via the phone number, via Twitter. I'm easy to find, Latone Hart. I'm about to roll out. Remember, don't play chicken with the rooster. And if you thought I was bad in the past, wait till you see the future.